Hello, you're listening to Romeo and a podcast about masculinity, nice guys, sexism, and what it means to be a man in our society today. I'm your host, Street Saint. Today's episode is brought to you by consent. Consent is a funny concept for us. We all agree that it's important to communicate and be clear with people in order to build strong relationships with them. Except when it comes to romantic relationships and sex. Why is that? With any other relationship we have, we need to be upfront, build trust, make agreements and compromises. But when it comes to the most intimate of relationships, we say, we'll just wing it. Doesn't make any sense. Consent is a very simple idea. Simply ask permission before you do anything that could possibly make someone else feel uncomfortable. But for whatever reason, in relationships, we value mystery, surprise, and aloofness. Nobody wants to ask for their first kiss because that would ruin the moment. Instead, we're told to just go in and kiss them when the moment is right. But when is the moment right? Don't worry, you'll just feel it. It's more romantic that way. The same is true when you look at marriage proposals. When we see it done on TV and movies, it's always a surprise. No one discusses it beforehand. You just buy yourself a fancy ring and pop the question when they least expect it. But at that point, who wants to be the person to say, you know what, could we maybe talk about it a little bit more first? Talk about ruining the moment. But this just goes to show that we're taught in our society to completely bypass consent when it comes to dating and sex. And it's one of the most destructive things that we can do to ourselves. The thing that makes relationships work is communication. But we're told that we should just know intuitively when the time is right for everything. And maybe you will, and that's definitely a special moment when two people can just know what the other is thinking without even saying a word. Unfortunately, the majority of us aren't psychics, so it doesn't always end so well. You want to know why guys get so frustrated about sexual harassment laws and the feminist outcry against catcalling? It's not because we're just really content living in a patriarchal society. It's because we're taught that asking permission is for sissies. We're taught that real men see what they want and take it. And yet, at the same time, we're told that doing exactly that is harassment. So what the hell are we supposed to think? Society first tells us to man up and just pick up the woman we want, and then society tells us that if we do, we're gonna get maced. It's literally a no-win situation. And it's no wonder a lot of guys are so frustrated with feminists. What they ask of us pretty much goes against everything we were ever told growing up. Instead of blaming guys for just being pigs, how about we recognize that we live in a system that is designed for at least us straight guys to fail at every step of the way? Now, I don't say that to try to justify catcalling and harassment. A dog instinctually wants to chase the mailman, but that doesn't mean we can't teach him to stop. Well, actually, that's not such a good example. Because it's not instinct that drives men to be disrespectful. They're taught to be that way from their environment. All we have to do is stop teaching guys to be assholes. Problem solved. Now, of course, it's a lot easier said than done, but ultimately we need to stop thinking of consent as a mood killer and think of it as basic human decency. You wouldn't walk into someone's house without asking permission first, unless you're like Link. So why would you have sex with them without asking if they were okay with it? It just seems pretty obvious when you think about it. But then we humans do a lot of dumb things. But so long as there are people who are willing to take radical stands, we can slowly start to move ourselves in the direction of progress. So don't gloss over consent, even if you think you can get away with it. You can't impact the future if you never try. This week's story discussion coming up next. Hopefully you're all here after listening to the previous episode of the podcast where I told my story about Lindsay, my romantic panic attack. If not, I recommend you going back to that episode and listening to that, or at least reading the story on the site so you have some context for this discussion. In the story, I talked about my crush on a girl I knew in college and how my attempts at getting into a relationship with her ultimately resulted in me having a nervous breakdown and seeking therapy. Naturally, this was the culmination of a long personal battle I've had with anxiety, especially when it came to relationships and dating. One of the things I learned from my counselor was that I had been using Lindsay as a means to confront my own personal demons. I definitely want to talk more about that, and I also need to talk about communication and the lack thereof, since it's another important topic I talk about a lot on the podcast. Lastly, I always have to bring it back to manliness, specifically what role the perception of manliness played in my story and how I felt it led me down this negative path. So let's start with the most sensitive of the topics. The story gets pretty intense, much more intense than the ones that I've shared about my childhood in the earlier episodes. Social anxiety is an issue that I've had to cope with pretty much all of my life, but it wasn't until I had my breakdown that I even knew that it was a named condition, or that it was actually pretty common. Being raised a man, I came to the understanding that anxiety and fear were just natural instincts that I needed to learn to control and conquer. But for guys with higher levels of anxiety, this enormous pressure to control and eradicate fear can make the condition much, much worse. And that's exactly what happened to me. Instead of recognizing that I had a problem that I needed to work through, I saw my anxiety as a natural weakness that I wasn't working hard enough to overcome. And the more I fought myself, the more I second-guessed myself, the worse my anxiety got. Until finally I reached a breaking point. What I realized when I wrote this story, which was a few years after I met Lindsay, I realized that all I actually wanted was validation from her. All I wanted was her to tell me that she was interested in me. That's it. That's all I wanted. I didn't actually care about going out with her beyond that. All I wanted was her love. And you can see that throughout the story. In that first scene when we're working the front desk together, I go online and look up ways to know if she's into you. And it says that if she crosses her legs toward you, that's a sign of interest. And I promise I'm not making this up. That's actually one of the things that it said. And I remember it distinctly because even though I was convinced that it was just made up nonsense, I was actually really happy when I saw that Lindsay actually had her legs crossed in my direction. And that might be evidence of how crazy I was at the time. I don't know. But in addition to that, Lindsay and I went on our date at the restaurant, and I got really excited when she said that she was going to pay the bill next time, since it implied that she was interested in seeing me again. And then when I was waiting for her text when I was going to help her move, I don't really mention it in the story, but I was actually really nervous that she wasn't going to text me. and that she was just going to move out without telling me. That's why I was so intense about the whole good news thing, which is, again, something that I actually do. To this day, if I meet a girl who I like and we exchange information, I'll do a little good news prayer where I just, like, say, good news, as I'm, like, holding my phone, just hoping that it's from her. Good news, good news, good news. Ah, it's just from Mom. But seriously, it's actually pretty bad. But yeah, any indication that I got from Lindsay that she might be interested gave me this huge boost, especially when I think back to when she asked me to sit with her at the tennis match. This was after she had given me hint after hint that she was done with me. I literally erased all of that from my mind. I talked a little bit about the confirmation bias in a previous episode, and this is another perfect example. I knew that Lindsay was interested in me. I believed it in my heart. So suddenly, anything that might even remotely reinforce this idea I had overshadowed all of the contrary evidence. I mentioned how Lindsay became my drug, in a sense, and that's exactly what was happening. I was using her to try to feel better about myself. Of course, I had no idea at the time, I just thought I wanted to go out with her. But that's what was happening, and I think a lot of guys suffer from the same problem. We're not supposed to get emotional or feel sensitive or vulnerable, and we're not supposed to need intimacy other than sex, of course. But that's exactly what we want. That's what anyone wants, really. Sexual, but also non-sexual intimacy. But since we're told that cuddling and other lovey-dovey things are not manly, guys get torn about these things. Let's look at the scene where I was helping Lindsay move out from her dorm. I thought to myself, this is what being someone's boyfriend must feel like. Here's what I learned about the experience that I didn't know at the time. What I felt then was not what it feels like to be someone's boyfriend, it's what it feels like to be someone's friend. The reason it felt so significant to me then is because I didn't and don't have many close friends. Which, as an introvert, is perfectly normal. Introverts tend to have just a few close friends rather than a large group of friends. But the reason it was so different for me is because I didn't understand the difference between having a girlfriend and having a friend that happens to be a girl. Because I spent my whole life fearing women and thinking of them as some enigma, I didn't have many girlfriends growing up. Very few female friends and zero girlfriends. It's a shame because I've generally always gotten along better with women than with other guys. But when you have so few friends in the sex that you're attracted to, it's hard to differentiate between friendship and romance. I realize now that when women reached out to me as a friend, I immediately thought she was interested in me romantically, since I didn't really recognize the difference. Needless to say, it has been a huge problem in my life. I say my life, but I know a lot of straight guys feel the same way. But after all this push and pull with Lindsay, it completely tore me up inside. And I was so good at holding in my emotions, like any real man would, that I couldn't even see how detrimental it was to my mental health. I literally didn't even think that it was that big a deal that I was considering suicide. I was actually thinking, you know, it seems like a pretty logical and advantageous course of action. Just pretend it's become too much for you, and then everyone will feel bad and want to help you. I thought that being suicidal was the only way I could convince people to care about my situation, which is, again, why I'm so happy that I called my friend and talked to her about it. And let me just go ahead and say to all of you listening that if you feel like you're in a similar situation, whether you're thinking of suicide or not, I recommend doing what I did and go find a counselor or therapist. I can't even tell you how helpful it was to just talk to someone about all my issues and just sort through everything. It didn't solve all my problems, and I still had to unpack a lot of mental baggage on my own, but it was so incredibly helpful to just get me back on track And now, inevitably, I have to bring back up the story of Elliot Rodger. Rodger was an angsty 22-year-old who felt cheated because he portrayed himself as a gentleman, as a nice guy, but he still wasn't able to get into a relationship, and ultimately it led him to drive to a sorority house and shoot four women. He considered it payback. What makes Rodger's story hit so hard is that I see myself in him. And I can tell you right now, seeing yourself in a murderer is not a great feeling. And just as I've talked about in the story, I wouldn't actually ever want to kill myself, and that also goes for anyone else. I wouldn't actually want to kill anybody else. And I'm sure most nice guys feel the same way, that they wouldn't go to murder as their solution. However, our stories are similar in that after being continuously denied love, we suffered a mental breakdown. Luckily, my breakdown just led me to call up my minister friend, so no innocent lives were lost. But the fact that this scenario is happening and that it is common means that there is clearly a problem in our society that needs to be addressed. Like I said, most nice guys aren't going to go and shoot up a sorority house, and, you know, Elliot Rodger, he was a little bit crazy, so, like, his mind went to murder, and that was his means of revenge. But not every nice guy is going to have that same connection, is not going to go to murder. But suicide is actually pretty common amongst men. Men are, I think, just off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure men are like 7 times more likely to kill themselves, at least at a certain age, than women are. So it's pretty crazy. And like, I mean, obviously there's more to the story. Like, we can't just say that, oh, well, it's because men are so fed up with relationships and dating. But I'm sure a lot of that has to do with what I'm talking about here. Because Rodger did actually end up killing himself at the end of his murder spree. I thought about killing myself, but knew that I wouldn't actually do it because I wouldn't actually kill myself. But in any case, this is clearly a problem, and we clearly need to think of how to fix it. Instead of pointing at Rodger and saying, this is the problem with nice guys, as a lot of people have done, we should look at what led him to this breakdown and try to prevent this kind of thing from happening again. Rodger made the mistake of blaming women for his circumstances, and a lot of guys make the same mistake. I was wise enough to know that it wasn't Lindsay's fault for the breakdown that I had, although at the time, I had no idea what the problem was. Guys need to start redirecting their anger from women and target it at our upbringing. So, getting back to my story, the problem I had wasn't that Lindsay was a terrible person for not falling in love with me. The problem was a lack of communication between us. That's a large part of what I think is missing in the way that we handle relationships in general. And part of this comes from our desire to be aloof and mysterious. No one wants to be vulnerable and say how they really feel about anyone, and it's ruining us. When I initially asked out Lindsay, my words were, "You want to meet up sometime?" I never used the word date because it's clear, and both parties would know exactly what was being talked about at that point. And because of that, I avoided using it like the plague. I'm literally terrified of actually using the word date when asking out a woman because there's no escape from that. Immediately, she knows that you're interested in being in a relationship with her. And it's not that I'm afraid of commitment, it's I'm afraid of vulnerability. As a man, you're not supposed to fear rejection. You see a woman you like and you pick her up. No one tells you how to handle the other side of things, because as a man, you're also expected to be in control at all times. Being vulnerable is not manly, and having a woman decide your fate is also definitely not manly. So there's no good way for a man to handle rejection. In other words, if you ask out a woman, you better hope she says yes, or else you're not a man. At the same time, if you never ask out a woman, that also makes you less of a man. Catch 22. The only way to skirt around this minefield is to be not clear. Because if you never use the word date, and she ends up rejecting you, you could always play it off as you were never actually interested in the first place, thus protecting your manhood. Pretty ingenious, right? No. No, it's not. Because now women can do the exact same thing. You aren't clear with your questions, so they can be just as vague with their answer. I've known guys to date women for months only to hear from her later on that she never actually saw him that way. And it goes both ways, too. Guys will do the same thing to women. Since no one wants to get hurt, everyone hides their feelings until they get so built up that when the truth finally comes out, it becomes this huge reveal. And that's exactly what happened with me and Lindsay. I never told her how I felt, but she never told me either. Instead of telling me that she wasn't interested, she responded to all of my texts and messages and acted enthusiastic when I reached out to her. She probably thought she was just being really polite. And as a result, I just kept chasing after her until I got too emotionally exhausted to keep going. And then I had a mental breakdown. The sad thing is, Lindsay broke my heart worse than she ever could if we actually had been dating the whole time. Again, I say this, but I see her as just as much a victim in this as I am. I also have to bring up my friend Dan's advice. When he met with me before I went to help Lindsay move, he told me that as long as she kept accepting my offers, I had no reason to stop. And I think he was right, in a way, because it was Lindsay's responsibility to tell me off, since I was clearly obsessed with her. But at the same time, this thinking stems from what guys are taught to do by the media. Just chase and chase and chase and pursue and keep pursuing until she actually has to tell you to stop. Unless a woman starts kicking and screaming and shoving you away from her, it's an invitation to keep on pursuing. I was filled with these delusions the whole time I was after Lindsay. I kept asking myself, what would a good boyfriend do? I paid for our date at the restaurant because it's what a good boyfriend would do. I helped her move at 5 a.m. because it's what a good boyfriend would do. I wasn't too clingy, and I didn't constantly send her messages while we were away from each other, because that's what a not-yet-but-maybe-soon-to-be boyfriend would do. I gave her a back massage because that's what I thought a good boyfriend would do. I rode my bike through the rain to surprise her at her tennis match because that's what a good boyfriend would do. Never did I think about what I wanted. All I wanted was to show her how loyal I was. I was like a dog begging for treats. Allow me to refer back to season one of the podcast where my muse and love of my life, Emma Watson, told us,
"You can't just sit there and put everybody's lives ahead of yours and think that counts as love."
As a nice guy, I thought that by putting Lindsay's interests before mine and devoting myself to her happiness, it meant that she would have to fall in love with me. I forgot that she was human and maybe just wasn't interested in me for any number of reasons a person might not be romantically attracted to another person. But that's just what a lot of guys do. They put everyone else before themselves and think that counts as love. And so my request of you is to be yourself. Just always be yourself. And I realize that I think, like, the past three episodes, my request of you has been this exact same thing, but I'm saying it again because it's just that important. Don't put other people's interests before yours just to try to get them to love you. Choosing to do something that brings another person joy is a sign of love, but it's not how you receive love from another person. You receive love by allowing them to do whatever it is you love to do. So do your thing. And if somebody you care about puts aside something they enjoy in order to join you, then that's love. But you have to open yourself up to that opportunity. Additionally, allow yourself to be vulnerable before it's too late. Don't let yourself fall into this pit and wait until you lose touch with yourself and break down. And if it gets to that point, seek help. Find someone you can talk to who can keep you sane. Whether that be a good friend who happens to be a minister, or just a friend, or a doctor, or a parent, or a therapist. Loneliness can be a catalyst to some scary outcomes. Try to surround yourself with people you love, and it might save your life. But that's it for this episode of Romeo and. As always, if you have a story you want featured on the podcast, send me a message via email. It's contact@stsaint.com, or give me a call at 516-514-7878. Also, be sure to follow me on social media, like Romeo and on Facebook, or follow me on Twitter @street_saint. New episodes of Romeo and are published weekly, so make sure you get every episode when it's released by subscribing to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the podcatcher of your choice. But if you do nothing else, just go to iTunes and Stitcher and leave us a 5-star rating, and just give us all kinds of rave reviews, because that's the best way for this show to reach a bunch of people and be as good as everybody hopes that it will be. But thanks again for listening. I am Street Saint, and I will see you next time.